James chapter 3 tonight. James 3 in our Bible. We're going to do the first five verses, and we're going to concentrate on verse number 5 tonight and the text that text for the message. All right. Very good, Brother Greg. I think our monitors from the pulpit have been very weak all day long. So if you could give just a tad here, and slightly losing the voice tonight, Brother Tom lost his, so I don't know if that's part of it or not. All right, let's stand together, please. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and we're going to read here responsibly, if you would join me, on the even-numbered verses. And our Bible says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Dear Lord, will you please help us tonight? Will you help us to be a better Christian because we came to church, heard a message from your word? I believe it'll be very practical and helpful in nature. God, help me, help all of us, please, to have an open heart, receptive to the Word of God, that the Spirit of God might have opportunity to work on us, and maybe mold us a little bit more into the image of Christ. Take with us from this service something that can help us have a great life for Christ. We'll thank you for it. Thank you for this part of the Bible. Open our hearts to it and our eyes, please. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, BC.
Never more shall I roam. soul is worn and weary, I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. Oh, my soul is worn and weary. I'm going home.
Thank you, David. Good to hear you sing again. And glad you're able to get up the steps. About a year ago, you had that back trouble. Couldn't hardly walk up the steps. So, amen. I'm glad you're doing better. Good to hear you sing again. James chapter 3, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Read that, thought about it. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I want to talk tonight on the subject, just talking. Just talking. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll please help us tonight to learn something that'll be a help, a challenge to our hearts. Help us not to be responsible for starting fires. Lord, I pray that we would be the kind of person that would put them out, not fan the flame. Help me tonight. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for the folks that have come out on this holiday weekend. Give us a good service. Lord Jesus, will you please get honor and glory to yourself? Holy Spirit, will you please bring the liberty that only you can bring? We enjoyed that liberty this morning, very free. But that was this morning. Now this is tonight. Help us, bless us, and God, would you preside over this service is my prayer in Jesus' name. And amen. A fire can be a devastating thing. How many of you have ever had a fire at your house? You've had a house fire. Several hands up. We haven't had a full-blown house fire. We did have that electrical panel fire back a few years ago. Our house is all electric, of course, so it shut down the whole house and it was a mess. And was real close to really taking the whole house, or at least getting started into a flaming fire in our basement. I was in Jacksonville, Arkansas, with Abby and Cherith, I believe it was Leah and Cherith. Okay, and checked my phone message on the phone, and it was my wife in a frantic voice of which I never heard much from her. Terry, the house is on fire, and the fire trucks are coming. Click. And I don't think you had a cell phone then. I don't think you did. Because I couldn't call you. Because I tried to call the house phone, but with the fire, everything was off. So I guess you did have it. I got a hold of you somehow later on. But we didn't have a devastating fire, although it presented enough problems. And those of you that have had a complete house fire, you know how devastating they can be. Loss of property. Much damage. Even loss of life can result from a fire. And it's amazing how great and devastating fires can be started by such small things. A barn fire is a horrific thing when a barn catches fire. And most barn fires are caused by wet hay. Wet hay. You can't put hay up wet. And my neighbors have alfalfa, and they'll grow some, they'll do some either wheat or oats, and so I usually try to help them bale straw, and then a couple times maybe a summer help them bale some hay, they call and ask. And many times it means a work opportunity for boys here at the church, and I might say that I don't think we've had one dud in all the years we brought boys out to work at the farm. The men have always been blessed by the fellows that have worked out there, and they pay a pretty good wage, really, And this summer, Nick Nelson came a couple times, and Dan came once or twice. Caleb came, I believe, once, and Brian Vega from the Spanish group came, and Brother Caleb's brothers, while they were here, Josiah and Isaiah, they came, and was with the hay. It was the last time we put it up, the hay was damp, and when they brought the wagon in, Nick was down on the wagon, on the elevator, and Dan and I were up in the hay mow with the neighbor, and the guy told him, said, now when you get to the back of the rack, you're going to have to throw those bales off of the ground because they're wet. And, you know, Nick hasn't had a ton of experience with hay, And he could tell there was kind of a confused look on his face. And John said, "You'll be able to tell by how much they weigh." And sure enough, when Nick got to the back of the rack, and there were obviously heavier bales, and he threw those off. You put wet hay in a hot mow, okay? And that thing heats up. There's a microbial action. Don't ask me what that is, but I looked it up. There's a microbial action that takes place, and because I was thinking, how does that happen? I got to study that out. There's a microbial action that takes place that can generate internal bale temperatures of over 150 degrees. And when it gets hot enough, it starts to smoke, and if it gets hot enough, a fire starts. And most barn fires are caused by wet hay. You won't see farmers putting up wet hay. If it starts to rain, you'll see them just stop. I remember reading a story some years ago about a ship at a shipyard, and they were loading bales of cotton in the belly of the ship. And a slight mist began to fall as they were loading the bales of cotton into the belly of the ship, and nobody had enough sense to pay attention to it. And there was just enough moisture to make those bales just a tad bit damp. And those bales that were in the very center of that belly of the belly of that ship, that microbial action obviously took place. And the whole belly of the ship caught fire just because of their wet cotton put in the belly of that thing. And there was much damage done to the ship, all because of just some wet, moist cotton. Now you think about that. Behold how great a matter a little fire can. Then you got a big barn fire roaring. Throwing a cigarette out the window. Throwing a lit cigarette out the window. When I'm on the interstate driving behind vehicles and somebody throws a lit cigarette out the window and it bounces on the pavement and all those ashes spark, it always gives me I just think, oh, goodness, man. I always wonder, could any of those sparks catch any kind of little hint of gasoline and boom, you know? People throw cigarettes out the window or they're careless with their cigarette butts. And in Oregon, over a five-year period, 237 fires were caused by discarded cigarettes. Over 3,285 acres of land were burned. And the report said that most of those fires started by cigarette smokers who didn't even realize they started a fire. Threw a cigarette out the window and they were off down the road before the thing got too big, already gone. 2007, outside of a little resort-type area down in Arizona named Summer Haven, a small fire began where there was lots of undergrowth in a wooded area and it had been dry like it gets in Arizona. And 2 days later, that thing began to burn and they couldn't get it out. And 2 days later, it hit the town. Two-thirds of the cabins and the houses were burned. More than 320 of them were completely destroyed. An untold number of centuries-old trees were burned. 7 out of the 9 businesses in town were destroyed. The firemen said that when the fire hit the town, they could hear propane tanks exploding like bombs. Over 84,000 acres were scorched. Property damage valued at $80 million. And when they traced the fire back to its origin, they discovered that it was started by a discarded cigarette off the side of a hiking trail. Some hiker had thrown a cigarette down. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Campfires not extinguished properly. People do not extinguish a campfire completely, and they leave a little wisp of smoke coming up from the ashes and the coals, and they think it's good enough, and they leave. And after they leave, the wind picks up a little bit, and there's some dry leaves or twigs, and before they know it, a spark of flame dances over and catches up, and before you know it, acres and acres. Brother, I can remember going on campfires, campouts, and we had campfires, and you know, we always took water and dirt and extinguished those campfires to make sure they were out properly, to make sure there was not any wisp of smoke left coming out of that campfire. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. On October the 8th, 1871, the Great Chicago Fire started. in the barn of Patrick and Catherine O'Leary. A couple who lived on the west side of Chicago. Did the cow kick over the lantern? That's the legend. The legend has it that Mrs. O'Leary went out in the late afternoon to milk the cow and had the lantern out there with her in her haste to get the milk back into the house, left the lantern in the barn, and the cow kicked over the lantern and the fire started. Regardless whether it was that was the actual origin of the fire or not, it started on Sunday night, October the 8th. By the way, that was the service that D.L. Moody preached, "What Think Ye of Christ?" And he dismissed the audience without giving an invitation into the Chicago fire. And he told them, he said, "Well, he preached on What Think Ye of Christ?" He said, "I'm not going to give an invitation tonight. I want you to come back next Sunday night. I want you to think about Jesus all week long and come back next Sunday night with your answer, What Think Ye of Christ?" And he dismissed the crowd without giving invitation. And, of course, that place where he was meeting was burned, and they never saw a lot of those people ever again. And he decided he would never, ever preach a message without giving an invitation. That fire burned from Sunday night, October 8th, to Tuesday morning, October 10th. It only stopped because it began to rain. It burned an area in Chicago over 3.5 square miles in size. It roared through the financial district downtown. Great hotels like the Palmer House and the Tremont and the Sherman were reduced to ashes. That same fire claimed Marshall Fields and dozens and dozens of other businesses in that area. The courthouse stood on a block surrounded by LaSalle, Clark, Randolph, and Washington. Some of you who go downtown Chicago, you can see that in your mind's eye. The courthouse was surrounded by those streets and it was burned to the ground. Stables burnt, warehouses burnt, breweries burnt, churches burnt, including D.L. Moody's. And then the fire spread to the luxurious residential districts, mansions of some of the oldest and most prominent Chicago families were absolutely destroyed. Over 100,000 homeless, among them D.L. Moody and his family. $192 million of property back in 1871. Destroyed in that fire, 300 died. If the legend is true, that a cow simply kicked over a lantern, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now, folks, the truth of the matter is we have a fire starter in our bodies. It's a little member amongst our bodies that can create a great fire. It's a fire starter. Now, when I was younger and much more macho, not that I ever was very macho, and I certainly don't claim to be now, but I think I thought I was macho evidently, because when I started a fire, I never used fire starter. I always did it the old-fashioned way. Get a couple of pieces of paper, make sure I have enough kindling cut up in little bitty things to stick on there, and then get some little bit bigger pieces and light the paper and get down there and blow on it till the kindling catches up, and then the bigger pieces of kindling, and then put the bigger pieces of wood on there. Now they make a wonderful product over at one of the department stores called Fire Starter. And you can go and just break a chunk of that off, put it in the wood stove, put your wood in there, light the fire starter, and away you go. It's the greatest thing in the world, amen, for lazy old guys like myself, all right, who aren't going to go back to the old-fashioned way. And I'm not talking about, I don't mean old-fashioned where you stick on a rock, all right. I'm not talking about that old-fashioned. But I now use the fire starter. Most of the time, our fire starter gets us into trouble when we're just talking. Just talking. Our fire starter is our tongue. And there's certainly nothing wrong with friends or relatives talking together. But how many fires have been started by people? Mom will say, "What were y'all doing?" "Oh, Mom, we were just talking." "Dad, we were just talking." "Honey, I was just talking." "Yeah, and because we were just talking, now the fire's burning." You know what, folks, there are some things, and sometimes when it's best just to let something rest. Put it to bed. And quit talking about it. We've come through some seasons like that in our family over the years where something takes place, and the more you talk about it, the greater the fire burns. And we've learned that sometimes the best thing to do, you know, we emphasize talking, 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 communicate, communicate, communicate. But there are times when the best thing to do is just quit talking and put it to rest. Now, how can our tongues be used to get a fire going? Got four simple things tonight. Let me give them to you. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Number one, we can get a great fire going by saying untrue things. Untrue things. I'm talking about telling lies. You know, telling lies is just an outright sin, right? And a bad one at that. Brother, boy, children ought always be disciplined for telling lies. But just a lie. A lie is a terrible thing, and we need to understand that. But a lie or a half-truth can also be used to start a great fire. Do you understand how great a fire Satan started in the Garden of Eden when he lied to Eve by saying, "Ye shall not surely die"? We're still feeling the effects of that fire today. Every child born into this world right now comes in with a sin nature. That's the effects of that lie that Satan told. Now, you know what's funny about lies, untrue things? What's funny is truth never spreads as quickly as lies do. You ever notice that? Truth just doesn't seem to get passed from telephone conversation to telephone conversation to telephone conversation like lies do. That's because, man, our lying words are like a fire. Fire spreads quickly. I put out a fire this summer that was started by a lie. Started by a lie. A great big fire burning, and I mean people being consumed in the fire, and we traced the origin of the thing back to the beginning and found out that the whole thing was just a lie. Untrue words. Untrue things can kindle a great fire. Don't trifle with the truth. Be careful not to pass on lies or to someone or about some lie about someone or about some situation. Because, friend, if you and I start talking about untrue things or things that are untrue, we can start a great fire. Behold, how great a fire. A little fire kindles. Untrue things. Number two, unsuitable things. Unsuitable things. What do you mean by unsuitable things? Unsuitable things, I think about 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse number 3, where David, I don't think meant for any harm, meant any damage when he went for a stroll in the evening on top of the rooftop. I don't think Bathsheba meant any damage when she went up to the rooftop to take her evening bath. But when David saw her, and in verse number 3, the Bible says he inquired. He inquired after the woman. Who is that? That was an unsuitable thing. A great fire was kindled by those unsuitable words. Inappropriate things for a man to ask a woman. Inappropriate things for a woman to say to a man. Folks, there are some things that are just not suitable for a man to talk to a woman about who are not married to each other. Just not suitable. There are some things that are not suitable for a woman to talk to a man about if they're not married to each other. There are some things that are not suitable for a woman to tell another woman. It's not suitable, ladies, to talk about your intimate life with your husband to another woman. That's unsuitable. Amen and amen. It's not suitable, fellas, to talk about your romantic life with your wife to another man. That's a very private, intimate, precious matter that ought not be talked about between people who are not married. Even man to man and woman to woman. There are unsuitable things that boys and girls should not talk about. We had a big fire one time. I'm not talking about a real fire. I'm talking about a fire created by unsuitable words. Things that were not suitable were talked about between two young people. Nothing happened. There was nothing that happened wrong. Nothing. They didn't do anything wrong. There was nothing physical that passed between them. They were just talking. But it was unsuitable things. And because it was unsuitable things, a great fire was kindled by those little unsuitable words. Just talking. Folks, we need to avoid subjects among each other that are not suitable. You say, well, Brother Angel, what are they? You know what they are. I don't have to list all those things tonight, friend. You know what's unsuitable to talk about between somebody else. I know what's unsuitable to talk about with somebody else. So keep the conversation above board. And if it starts to sink, walk away from it, because just talking can lead to unsuitable things being talked about, and that can create a great, great fire. A great fire. I've used the illustration a couple of times. I came by after teaching at the school some years ago. I came by a hospital to make a visit on a woman who was in our church at that time, had had some type of surgery, and I was visiting with her in the hospital room, and I said, I'm sure you'll be glad to get back home and have some good food, because hospital food isn't that good. And she said, oh yes, you're right. And how do you like my gown? It's from Victoria's Secret. Would you like to see the back? I was stunned. I couldn't believe I heard those words. I said, let's pray. That's all I could think of saying. And I really think it was of God. Amen? I really do. So I said, let's pray. God, help her, bless her, take care of her to get well. Bless her husband and family. In Jesus' name, amen. Walked out. I got back to the car. I was shaking. I got on the cell phone and called my wife immediately, because I wanted her to know. I don't trust my flesh. I wasn't going to entertain that kind of conversation all the way home and be the only one that knew about that. I need to make myself accountable. So I called my wife. I said, you won't believe this. And she said, oh, I believe it. I believe it. Unsuitable words. You know, sir, when you took your wife at a marriage altar, that puts you and me in a position where we are off limits to talk about some things to all of the women. I know this is not dynamic tonight, but it sure can help you. And ladies, when you took a husband at a marriage altar one day, you put the opportunity to, or the privilege, or whatever you want to call it, of talking about some things to other people, other men especially, completely out of range for you. Unsuitable things can create a horrible fire. Behold, how great a matter a little fire can lift. Just two or three unsuitable words between an unmarried man and an unmarried woman can create great devastation. Amen and amen. Untrue things. Unsuitable things. Number three, I think of unwise things. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 11, Solomon wrote this, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Saying everything that is on your mind can lead to a great fire. Sometimes we seem like we take great pride in being one of those people that I just say what's on my mind. I just say everything that's in my heart. That's kind of like opening your mouth and saying, advertisement, I am a fool. If you didn't know it, you know it now. Do you realize when you tell somebody everything, how great the chance is that they will eventually tell somebody else? Come on now. Be careful about saying everything. Don't tell everything. I'm not talking about a husband or wife talking to each other. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about a man talking about his wife. Again, a woman talking about her husband. I'm talking about parents talking about their kids. You know, I had to sitting around one time. I don't know how the conversation came to it at my house, but we began to talk among some of the kids who were at home, whatever kids were at home. I think some of them were already gone at that time, about things that their dad had said from the pulpit that embarrassed them. When I use them as personal illustrations. And I learned a great lesson. I'm not sure I've learned it completely. I learned a great lesson. There are some things that happen among my kids that I shouldn't use as personal illustrations. They're unwise to say in front of a crowd. And the same thing is true about your kids. I think about kids talking about their parents. Kids, I've told you this before in the past. Let me bring it to your attention again. If you have a dad and a mom who love you enough to punish you when you do wrong by spanking you, you should never, ever go to school or anywhere else and talk about your spanking. You can have a bad attitude and be mad about it and go to school and somebody say, man, what's wrong with you? What's up? Why are you so, what's up? Are you okay? Oh, my mom gave me a spanking last night. My dad gave me a spanking last night. I'm going to tell you something. If that is overheard by the wrong person, you can create a great fire. There could be a knock on the door and a government, some person from a government agency standing there saying, we need to talk to you. Be very careful about saying everything that happens. Look, what happens at your home needs to stay at your home, kids. Stay at home. It's unwise to just go and tell everything. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Untrue things, unsuitable things, unwise things. And then I think number four about this. I think about untimely things. Untimely things. Proverbs 25:11 says this, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. The word fitly means in season. It's talking about the right time. A word spoken at the right time. And you know, the opposite is true too. A word spoken at the wrong time can create a great fire. I've said before, I have overheard the most untimely things spoken by people. You know, maybe they're trying to be humorous. But people who get out of church and are gone for a while. And folks, people who get out of church and are gone for a while, you know, they stay on our radar here on the staff. And we try to get a lot of them back. We don't camp out at their house. Sometimes people just need some space. We don't camp out at their house, and occasionally, in talking to somebody on the telephone, I called a person who used to be very, very faithful in this church some weeks ago. I called him. I just had an impression of the Holy Ghost of God leaving the hospital down at Riverside to call so-and-so. And I just happened to have their phone number in my contact list in the cell phone. And so I dialed it up and I said, hey, I called the name of the person. And I said, I just want to let you know I was thinking about you. And the person said, preacher, I was just thinking. Since that conversation, that person has been in church one service. And yet sometimes folks like that come back to church who've been out of church for a while. And you hear some of the craziest things from people, I guess trying to be humorous. Hey, what's your name? Hey, do you need a visitor card? You know, that may be funny and cute, but if they're struggling spiritually, that's probably not the thing they really want to hear or need to hear. It's untimely. I guess there's anything wrong with it. It's just untimely. Well, well, look who made it back to church. Aye. When I hear that, my insides just... I think, dear God, please help them just to deal with it. Over in Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 23, the Bible says, a word spoken in due season, how good is I mean the right thing said at the right time, can be such a blessing and such an encouragement. And the opposite is true. The wrong thing said at the wrong time, untimely words, can wreck such havoc in a person's life. Be careful about saying untimely things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, Brother Woodward and I talk probably 50 out of 52 Sunday mornings in the calendar year. And we laugh together and we always have prayer together. And ask about if we haven't talked during the week, ask how the week went. And occasionally on a Sunday morning, the conversation will drift towards something that's very discouraging. Or the conversation will drift towards something that's just kind of disheartening. And you know, we kind of both get in the malaise of just kind of disheartening talk. And then one of us, thank God, will have enough sense to say, you know what? This is not good Sunday morning talk. And we'll throw it out because it's not timely on Sunday morning for a couple of preachers to talk about disheartening and discouraging things and then go to the pulpit and try to be filled with the glory and the Spirit of God. It's untimely. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Things that are untrue, things that are unsuitable, things that are unwise, things that are untimely. A cow takes its hoof and kicks over a lantern in a barn on the west side of Chicago, and a day and a half later, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. Untrue things, unsuitable things, unwise things, untimely things that come out of my mouth or your mouth can create a great fire. A great fire. I've seen it happen in college. I've seen it happen in Faith Baptist Academy. I've seen it happen in the Terry Angel family. I've seen it happen in Faith Baptist Church. When untrue things, unwise things, untimely things, and unsuitable things come out of our mouths, a great fire starts. Let's be careful. That's a fire starter. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, would you please help us tonight? Help us to guard our words. Help us to guard our conversation. Help us to speak pleasing to you. Help us always, Lord, to speak with our speech seasoned with grace. Lord, I pray that we will not be guilty of spreading untrue things, unsuitable things, unwise things, untimely things. Because, Lord, those little things can kindle such a great, great fire. Help our words to be what they ought to be. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder tonight during the course of the message if you sat there thinking about a fire you had to put out one time. And when you traced the fire back to its origin, you found out it got started with something just so little. It was some words. Maybe you had to put out a fire in your family. Maybe you had to put out a fire at work. God forbid. How many fires have we started? With just a little matter. A few untimely words. A few unwise words. A few untrue words. A few unsuitable words. I wonder if God spoke to your heart tonight. Pastor, somewhere during the course of the message, the Spirit of God visited my pew, visited my seat. I need to do a better job guarding my words. Pray for me tonight because the Spirit of God spoke to me. Yes, God bless you. Amen, amen, amen. I have my hand with yours tonight. My Heavenly Father, would you please help us? I pray that the things that come out of our mouth, the words, will be pleasing to you. Will not be guilty, Lord, of starting fires that are difficult to put out. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed tonight. I wonder if there'd be anybody who would say, Pastor Angel, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I am not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Anybody like that tonight, would you raise your hand? You're not sure that you're saved. You've been saved but not baptized, or you came tonight to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You want to raise your hand tonight, Pastor, I've been saved but not baptized. Pray for me. Somebody like that? God bless you when it comes tonight. And follow the Lord and believers' baptism, that's wonderful, if that's what you came prepared to do. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, would you please help us? Take these simple thoughts tonight from this very one sentence passage of Scripture. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindling. And be very careful with our words. In Jesus' name.